A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's got an Ivar shelving unit. It's pine. And he moved it outdoors. Now it's graying, cracking, and oozing sticky sap. He's asking if there's any coating or treatment that can make it stand up to high UV, winter rain, and condensation. And if pine is just a lost cause, what woods actually thrive outdoors with minimal fuss?
This is the summer question. We've been seeing record UV indexes across the country. Phoenix hit an 11 on the UV scale 3 times in June alone. And people are dragging indoor furniture onto patios without understanding what they're asking of the material. It's the worst possible candidate for outdoor life. And Ivar is kiln-dried pine with no stabilization for thermal swings.
The question underneath the question is, can pine ever truly be outdoor ready? Or are we just negotiating the timeline of its demise?
And the answer is going to surprise people, because the instinct is to grab a can of something and slather it on. But with pine, that instinct is often worse than doing nothing at all.
Which is the kind of counterintuitive take that makes me very happy we're doing this episode.
Let's define the battlefield first. Outdoor wood faces 3 enemies, and they work as a team. Enemy 1 is UV radiation. Specifically, it attacks lignin, which is the natural polymer that glues wood fibers together. When UV breaks down lignin, the wood surface turns gray and powdery and starts eroding. On pine, this happens fast. You'll see visible graying within 6 to 8 weeks of full sun exposure.
That gray layer isn't just cosmetic. It's the wood literally losing its structural glue at the surface.
Enemy 2 is moisture, rain, humidity, condensation. Wood cells swell when they absorb water and shrink when they dry. Repeated swelling and shrinking creates internal stress cracks. And moisture above 20% is the threshold where fungal rot kicks in. Pine wicks water like a drinking straw because of its open grain structure. Daytime sun heats the wood, nighttime it cools, and the temperature difference between the surface and the core creates condensation inside the wood itself. This is the sneaky one. People think they're safe because the unit is under an awning, but the condensation is happening from within. Pine's resin channels make this worse because the resin softens and migrates when the wood gets above about 90 degrees Fahrenheit.
The resin literally starts moving through the wood.
It's called resin exudation. The sap liquefies, bleeds through whatever finish you've applied, and creates pinholes. Those pinholes are entry points for moisture. It's a self-defeating cycle. And Ivar is particularly prone to this because it's kiln-dried for indoor stability, not for the kind of thermal swings you get outdoors. Kiln drying sets the resin, but doesn't eliminate it. Heat it back up, and it's mobile again.
Before we even get to finishes, the wood itself is working against you.
Pine is what I'd call a refugee wood for outdoor use. It doesn't belong there. It's soft, it's resinous, its grain structure is open, and it has no natural rot resistance. In the European Durability Classification, EN350-2, pine ranks as Class 5, which is not durable. That's the bottom of the scale. For context, Class 1 woods like teak and ipy can sit outside untreated for 25-plus years.
That's almost refreshingly honest for a classification system.
It really is. So when Daniel asks about coating Ivar for outdoor use, the real question isn't, can I coat it? It's, can I make the coating last longer than the wood itself? And that's the tension we're going to spend this episode unpacking.
Let's set up how we'll tackle this. First, we're going to walk through the coating dilemma for pine. What works, what fails catastrophically, and why the most popular option is actually the worst. Then we'll pivot to the woods that don't need a chemical crutch at all. There's a whole category of species that laugh at rain and UV with no finish whatsoever.
We'll end with a decision framework. Because this isn't just a chemistry question, it's a time and money question. How many hours a year are you willing to spend on maintenance? What's your break-even point on upfront cost versus annual upkeep? The math is not what most people expect.
Let's start with the Ivar problem. Can you actually make pine behave outdoors? Or are you just postponing the inevitable?
Before we get into coatings, I want to anchor something that most people don't realize about what makes a wood outdoor ready at the cellular level. It's not one thing. It's a combination of three properties the pine has exactly none of.
Zero for three.
First is extractive content. These are the natural chemicals the tree produces, oils, tannins, resins, that act as built-in fungicides and insecticides. Teak's got tectoquinone, cedar's got thujaplesins. These compounds are literally toxic to the fungi that cause rot. Pine's extractives are mostly just, which is sticky and flammable and not much else.
Teak is basically marinating itself in its own preservative.
That's not far off. Second property is density and grain structure. Dense woods like ipay have such tight grain that water physically can't penetrate more than a millimeter or two. Ipay's so dense it sinks in water. Pine's open grain, by contrast, acts like a bundle of capillary tubes. Water wicks in and just keeps going. Dimensional stability, how much the wood moves with changes in moisture. All wood moves, but the range varies enormously. Pine can swell and shrink by 8 to 10% across the grain over a humid to dry cycle. Teak moves about half that. IP even less. Less movement means fewer cracks, and fewer cracks mean fewer places for water to get trapped.
When you put pine outside, you're not fighting one problem. You're fighting a material that is simultaneously absorbing water, feeding fungi, and tearing itself apart through expansion and contraction. And you're trying to stop all three with a thin layer of something painted on top.
That thin layer is itself being destroyed by UV. This is the trap. The lignin breakdown we mentioned. That's happening at the very surface where the coating bonds to the wood. The coating might still look intact from the outside, but underneath, the wood surface has turned to powder and the adhesion is gone. That's why film finishes on pine don't just fail. They delaminate in sheets.
The coating becomes a lie.
A very convincing lie for about 6 months. Then it's a peeling, cracking mess with rot festering underneath. And here's the cruel part. Bare pine left unfinished will gray and weather, but it'll stay structurally sound for 5 to 7 years if it's kept off the ground and allowed to dry. A failed film finish can rot the same pine in 2 years because it traps moisture against the surface.
The coating you applied to protect the wood becomes the thing that kills it faster. That's almost poetic.
It's the central paradox of outdoor pine. The worst thing you can do is apply a bad finish. The second worst thing is applying no finish. The best thing is applying exactly the right finish and then maintaining it religiously. Which is where we're headed next.
That's the Ivar question in a nutshell. Not can it be done, but what's the maintenance bill, and are you willing to pay it?
Let's talk about the finishing options, because most people reach for polyurethane and assume they're done. Fine Woodworking ran a comprehensive test in 2022. They put 6 different finishes on softwood panels and left them in full sun. The film forming finishes, polyurethane, standard varnish, even some exterior formulas, delaminated within a single season. Not faded, not worn. Sheets of plastic peeling off gray, water-damaged wood.
That's brutal.
The mechanism is exactly what we just described. The wood expands and contracts with moisture and temperature. The film can't stretch that far. Microcracks form at the bond line, UV gets in and degrades the lignin, and suddenly the coating is floating on a layer of powdered wood. Moisture seeps in through the edges and gets trapped. It's a greenhouse for rot.
Polyurethane is the worst offender, but the failure mode is universal to anything that forms a continuous film.
The exception is marine spar varnish. It's formulated differently. It has UV absorbers built in, and more importantly, it's designed to remain flexible. Traditional spar varnish used tung oil and phenolic resins that could stretch with the wood. Modern versions like Epiphanes or Total Boat use advanced polymers that maintain that elasticity. On pine, you'll get 12 to 18 months before you need to sand and recoat.
That's the best case scenario.
Best case, with 2 coats, proper surface prep, and assuming no resin exudation punches pinholes through it. Which, on Ivar in a hot climate, is a big assumption. Once the wood hits 90 degrees, that pine sap liquefies and pushes right through. You'll see little beads of amber ooze on the surface within the first summer. Each one is a breach in the finish.
Even the premium solution is a ticking clock.
The clock resets every year. Annual sand and recoat, minimum. Miss a year and moisture gets behind the film, and then you're back to the peel and rot cycle. I saw a case from a woodworking forum. Someone put an Ivar unit on a covered porch in Portland, Oregon, 2 coats of spar varnish, meticulous application. 14 months later, checking appeared at the joints. When they scraped back the finish, the wood underneath was already showing black fungal staining.
14 months on a covered porch. So not even direct rain, just ambient humidity and temperature swings.
Which brings us to the penetrating finishes. Teak oil, tung oil, Danish oil. These soak into the wood fibers rather than sitting on top, so they don't peel. The trade-off is they offer almost no UV protection. The wood will still gray within 6 months because the UV is attacking the lignin at the surface, and the oil is sitting a millimeter deep. It's protecting against moisture, but not sunlight.
You pick your poison. Film finish protects against UV but traps moisture. Penetrating oil lets the wood breathe but sacrifices UV defense.
Then there's Thompson's Water Seal, which deserves its own special category of disappointment. It's a wax-based water repellent, not a finish. It beads water for a few months, offers zero UV protection, and needs reapplication 2 or 3 times a year. On pine, it's basically sunscreen that washes off in the first rain. Fine for a deck you don't care about, useless for shelving you want to look decent.
Daniel's practical options for Ivar are what? Spar varnish with annual maintenance, or nothing.
Those are the two defensible paths. Either commit to 2 coats of marine spar varnish with UV stabilizers, sand, and recoat every 12 to 18 months, and accept that you'll still get 3 to 5 years before the internal moisture cycling degrades the wood beyond saving. Or leave it completely unfinished, keep it elevated off the ground on rubber feet or pressure-treated blocks, ensure airflow behind it, and let it go gray. Unfinished pine, if it can dry out between wettings, will hold up structurally for 5 to 7 years.
The unfinished root costs nothing and requires no labor.
Which is why it's often the smarter choice. The worst outcome is the middle ground, applying a cheap film finish, watching it fail, and then having rotted wood in 2 years instead of weathered, but sound wood in 5. Sometimes the best finish is no finish at all. If that sounds like too much work, and honestly, for most people it should, there's a better way. Choose a wood that doesn't need a chemical crutch in the first place.
We've established pine is a Class 5 not durable on the European standard EN350-2. So what's at the other end of that scale?
These are woods with natural extractives that resist rot and UV at the cellular level. Teak, IP, mahogany, western red cedar. They've evolved chemical defenses that make fungal decay nearly impossible and UV damage mostly cosmetic. You can leave them outside untreated for decades, and the wood itself, the structure, stays sound.
The wood is its own finish.
That's the mental shift. Most people think wood needs a coating to survive outdoors. For Class 1 species, the best finish is no finish at all. Teak is the gold standard here. It contains up to 40% oil by weight. Tectoquinone, specifically, which is a natural fungicide and insect repellent. That oil content means water beads on the surface and doesn't penetrate. No finish needed, ever. It weathers to a silver-gray patina that people actually pay extra to get.
That silver-gray isn't damage. It's just the surface lignin oxidizing. The wood underneath is unchanged.
Structurally, Teak Outdoors is a 25-plus year proposition with zero maintenance. The catch is price. Teak runs $30 to $50 per board foot. A 6-shelf unit comparable to Ivar would run you $800 to $1,200. And there are sustainability concerns. Old-growth Burmese teak is basically off the market if you're ethical about it. You want FSC-certified plantation teak from Indonesia or Costa Rica.
It's expensive, and you have to do your homework on sourcing.
Here's where the math gets interesting. An Ivar unit costs about $200. Coating it properly with spar varnish adds $50 a year in materials and labor. Over 12 years, you've spent $800 and dozens of hours of your life sanding and recoating, and the pine is probably shot anyway. The teak unit costs more up front, but the break-even is around year 12, and after that, it's pure savings. Plus, you never touched a sanding block.
The cheap option is only cheap if your time is worth nothing.
That's the hidden cost nobody factors in. Now, if teak is out of budget, the next contender is IP, Brazilian walnut. This stuff is absurdly dense. It's harder than oak, has a Class A fire rating, and it's so tight-grained that water barely penetrates the surface. IP sinks in water. Untreated IP decks in Florida have been documented lasting 25-plus years with no finish, just a uniform silver-gray patina and zero rot.
25 years in Florida, humidity. That's basically a torture test.
There's a well-known case of an IP deck in Miami that went in during the late 90s. No finish, no sealant, just the wood, still structurally perfect. The surface is gray, but there's no cupping, no warping, no fungal staining. The downside is that IP is brutal on tools. You need carbide blades, it'll chew through standard steel in minutes, and it's heavy, over 60 pounds per cubic foot. Moving a shelving unit made of IP is a two-person job.
You're trading maintenance labor for moving labor.
For something that's going to sit in one place for 20 years, that's a trade most people would take. Now, if you want a middle ground, something affordable, lightweight, and naturally durable, Western Red Cedar and Redwood are the softwood superstars. They're not class 1 on the EN scale, they're class 2, but they're naturally rot-resistant because of compounds called thujaplesins. Lightweight, easy to work with, and they take finishes beautifully if you choose to apply one.
And the price point?
Significantly less than teak or ipe. Still more than pine, but we're talking maybe 3 to 4 times the cost of ivar, not 10 times. And here's the trick with cedar. A single coat of clear penetrating epoxy sealer. Smith CPES is the standard. Can extend its outdoor lifespan to 15 plus years. The epoxy stabilizes the cell walls against moisture cycling without forming a film. It soaks in and hardens, so the wood can still breathe but can't absorb liquid water.
It's a one-time treatment, not an annual ritual.
You apply it once, maybe touch up after a decade. That's it. Cedar with CPES is probably the sweet spot for Daniel's use case. Outdoor shelving that needs to look decent, survive rain and condensation, and not become a maintenance project. It's the practical middle path between the pine headache and the teak investment.
Pressure-treated lumber? People always ask about that for outdoor projects.
Pressure-treated wood is designed for ground contact, fence posts, deck framing, retaining walls. It's not designed for furniture or shelving. The treatment chemicals, usually alkaline copper quaternary these days, interfere with finish adhesion, so anything you apply will peel faster than on untreated wood. It also warps dramatically as it dries, and you don't want those chemicals in contact with anything you're storing, especially if it's food or fabric. For shelving, pressure treated is a hard no.
The landscape is basically pay with money or pay with time, but you're paying either way.
The no-finish approach on the right wood is the only path where you truly pay once and walk away. For teak, IP, and cedar, the best finish is no finish. Let them weather. If you want to preserve the original color, and this is purely cosmetic, not structural, you can use a UV-inhibiting oil like Pinofen or Mesmer's UV. But that adds an annual reapplication cycle, and you're back in the maintenance game for aesthetics, not protection.
Which feels like defeating the purpose of buying a wood that doesn't need maintenance.
And there's evidence that repeatedly oiling teak actually reduces its natural UV resistance over time by diluting the surface extractives. The wood knows what it's doing. Leave it alone. Where does that leave you? Let's build a decision tree that accounts for your budget, your time, and your tolerance for maintenance.
Path 1. You already own the ivar. You're not buying new wood, and you need to make it work. What's the play?
Either marine spar varnish with UV stabilizers and an annual sand and recoat commitment, or leave it unfinished and accept a 5 to 7 year lifespan. Those are the only two options that don't accelerate the rot. The spar varnish route buys you a nicer appearance for about 3 to 5 years before the wood itself degrades from internal moisture cycling. The unfinished route gives you a weathered gray look, but keeps the structure sound longer. Pick based on whether aesthetics or longevity matters more.
The middle option, cheap sealant, polyurethane, whatever's in the garage, is worse than either.
You'll have rotted wood in 2 years instead of weathered, but solid wood in 5.
Path 2. You want zero maintenance, you're willing to pay up front, and you never want to think about this again.
Teak, or IPE, UFA, unfinished. Buy it, assemble it, walk away. 25 plus years, no sanding, no recoating, no nothing. Teak if you want lighter weight and easier workability. IPE if you want absurd hardness and fire resistance. Both weather to silver gray. Both are structurally bulletproof. The upfront cost is high, but we ran the numbers. Break-even versus treating pine is around year 12, and after that, you're ahead.
Path 3. The middle ground. You want something more durable than pine, but you're not spending teak money.
Western Red Cedar with a single coat of penetrating epoxy sealer. Smith's CPES applied once. It stabilizes the cell walls against moisture cycling, doesn't form a peelable film, and extends the wood's natural rot resistance to 15 plus years with essentially no upkeep. Cedar's lightweight, easy to work with, and costs a fraction of teak. For outdoor shelving that needs to survive rain and condensation without becoming a hobby, this is the sweet spot.
Across all three pods, there's a condensation fix that costs almost nothing.
Elevate the unit. Get it off the ground on rubber feet or pressure-treated blocks. Even an inch of air gap breaks the capillary action that wicks ground moisture into the wood, and leave at least 2 inches of airflow behind the unit. Most outdoor shelving rot starts at the back, where the unit is pushed flush against a wall and humidity gets trapped. That stagnant microclimate is a fungal incubator.
2 inches of air behind, 1 inch of air below. That's the cheapest insurance policy in this entire episode.
The most overlooked. People obsess over which finish to buy, and then set the unit directly on a damp patio with the back pressed against a wall. The finish can't save you from that.
Here's the 10-year test. Before you buy any outdoor wood, ask yourself, am I willing to refinish this every year for a decade? If the answer is no, pay more upfront for a durable species. The math is clear once you factor in your own labor. Cheap wood plus expensive maintenance equals more expensive over time.
That's the part the sticker price hides. A $200 Ivar unit feels like a bargain until you've spent 50 hours sanding and recoating it over a decade. Value your time at anything above minimum wage, and the teak is cheaper.
The pine is a subscription service disguised as a one-time purchase.
That's the line of the episode. Pine is a subscription service. Teak is buy it for life.
The buy it for life math assumes the climate stays predictable, and that's the open question I keep coming back to. We're seeing UV indexes that weren't supposed to be possible at these latitudes, rain events that dump months of water in hours. If the weather keeps getting more extreme, does finish-free become the only sane design philosophy for outdoor wood?
I think it does, and the industry is already moving that way. There's a whole new category of modified wood that takes the logic of teak, make the wood itself the technology, and pushes it further through chemistry. The two big names are Akoya and Kebony. Akoya uses acetylation, which basically turns the cell walls hydrophobic by replacing hydroxyl groups with acetyl groups. Kebony uses furfurylation, impregnating the wood with furfural alcohol that polymerizes inside the cells.
They're chemically altering the wood rather than coating it.
And the results are remarkable. Both offer 25-year warranties with no maintenance. Early data shows they actually outperform teak in dimensional stability. They swell and shrink less across moisture cycles than any natural wood on the market. Akoya has been tested in freshwater and saltwater immersion and comes out virtually unchanged. No rot, no warping, no fungal attack.
The catch being cost, presumably.
2 to 3 times the price of teak, so we're talking serious investment. But if you're building something permanent, a deck, a pergola, outdoor shelving you plan to use for decades, the math starts looking like a one-time infrastructure expense rather than a recurring maintenance bill. And unlike teak, there are zero sustainability concerns. Akoya is made from radiata pine, which grows fast and is plantation harvested.
The modified pine outperforms the exotic hardwood. There's something satisfying about pine getting the last laugh.
Pine with a PhD. It's still early days for these products in the consumer market. Mostly they've been used in commercial projects, bridges, marina decking. But they're trickling down. And I think Daniel's question points toward where this is all heading. The future of outdoor wood isn't better sealants. It's wood that doesn't need them.
Which brings us full circle. Daniel's Ivar is pine with no PhD. He can coax a few years out of it with spar varnish and vigilance, or let it go gracefully gray. But the real lesson is that the wood matters more than the coating, and the industry is finally catching up to what teak figured out a few million years ago.
If you've got a weird prompt about wood, coatings, or anything else that's bugging you, send it to show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll do the research so you don't have to.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
During the Cold War, a team of botanists on the Faroe Islands discovered that a single square meter of local peat moss could produce enough spores to blanket a soccer field in a layer 1 millimeter thick, roughly 3 billion spores per square meter per season.
3 billion spores per square meter. That's unsettling.
This has been My Weird Prompts. I'm Corn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry. Leave us a review if you enjoyed the episode. It genuinely helps other people find the show.
Until next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.